Blog Talk Radio.
Because you never know what life is gonna take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now, looking at 30, and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody, I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I've reached the fork in the road of my life, and ain't nothing gonna happen unless I decide to be the best that I can be. Sick in everything I do. My past don't dictate who I am. I do, yeah. Had I been through some painful things, I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes. I put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to let it all go. I'm dropping these bags, I'm making room for my joy.
Take a ride, tech won't fix me and don't choose a side.
Black Power Family, welcome to another episode of Through Knowledge Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Alive, and this is our Solidarity Saturday episode. And we have the distinct honor and privilege of welcoming back to the platform First Lady of RMC, Revolutionary Mind Cinema, brand new co-host of My Skin Is My Sin Radio, phenomenal. Mind warrior goddess, I speak of none other than the goddess queen. I feed that phone number to call in. It's 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. And press one with questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others this afternoon's guest here live on Through Knowledge Radio. None other than my comrade, my sister, the warrior goddess and queen. Queen Afi is in the building. Peace, Queen.
Peace. What's going on? How are you today?
I'm good. It's all about you today, you know?
Yeah.
The shoe on the other foot. Definitely not. Definitely not.
Let me know when you get tired of me now.
You'll be waiting a long time for that one.
Yeah, it is a pleasure once again. I had such a good time last night, so I'm back for the repeat.
All right, so we always begin with a introduction, so you can take as little or as long as you like to introduce yourself to the family, and also you could, you know, kind of make them aware of how you got started on the path that you're on right now.
Okay. Well, I am Afi Asay. I am a portrait painter, predominantly working oils and pastels. Aside from the art, I am a forensic psychotherapist. I am licensed in the state of Texas. I work with juveniles in the criminal justice system, and I have a specialty in art therapy. One of my biggest influences, dare I say my biggest, is Dr. Francis Wolfing. Before I was conscious or aware, I followed her. I was immensely shaped by her teachings and understandings of systematic oppression and the Black plight and its effect on the Black family today. So being in the psychology field and running across her work, I mean, you really can't help as a Black person in this country, but to come into awareness following her teachings. I can say I attribute a lot of my waking up to Dr. Wolfing, with second influence being, of course, the Honorable Marcus Garvey. In terms of art, I guess my family would say I've always had a talent for art. I specifically remember the first time I think I realized that I was a little bit of an artist was in the fourth grade when I won a Black cowboy competition, drawing a Black cowboy. And I remember the picture staying up on the we had this massive display board in the hallway, and I remember it staying up for the longest, and my mother being invited to a ceremony when I got awarded, and then gave me $5. That was the first time I had a whole $5 bill to myself, and that was the first time I can remember thinking that I got that because I was an artist. That was really the first time that I paid attention to it, but it's just always been a talent of mine, not necessarily a passion. I didn't have very much interest in it throughout high school and college. It was just something I was great at. It wasn't something that I felt like I woke up every day and I felt like I needed to, you know, do this research and read these books and these experiments. And in psychology, I never woke up and felt like I needed to draw and I needed to paint until I became more aware, and the visuals that we have are just not, I don't want to say memorable, but they aren't as grand as they should be. And for all the work and the research that we do, I felt like it would be a good way for me to pay homage to a lot of the master teachers that I study, a lot of the liberators and revolutionaries that I study. What better way for me to give back than for me to immortalize them with the talents that I was given by my ancestors? So that's really what I started to do. For what most people know me as. I was doing commission work before where, you know, and I still do that now where someone could reach out and order something. But the running theme of doing liberators and revolutionaries started because of that. You know, you can Google a picture of a specific person and you'll get, you know, maybe the same 3 or 4 or 5 images. And I just thought it would be a cool thing for me to just give my little take on it and modernize it, freshen it up a little bit. And I'm by no way trying to replace, you know, these historical images that we have. of these revolutionaries. I just wanted to make people pay attention to them. And that's what I started doing. I even do it in my sketchbook, especially when we have a young brother or sister, or brother, sister, period, that gets killed unjustly. I do a lot of that in sketchbook. A lot of people know that I do it also in post them. But it's just a way that I can give back and, you know, keep faces in the forefront of our minds.
Most definitely. So one of the first things that I wanted to ask you is your process. Does it begin in your mind, like when you look at a canvas or you look at your sketch pad? Do you already see the image completed, or do you put a line on the paper, on your sketch pad, or on the canvas, and it begins to create itself? So is it something that you already see completed in your mind, or is it something that, you know, with each stroke, it becomes more alive to you?
Usually, I get into these phases, and a lot of artists will do this. You go through a phase where you'll have a very specific and noticeable way of painting, that there will be some kind of signature method or appearance to your work. Like, for example, I went through a phase where I did everything in black and white or tones of gray, and I would add one or two accent colors to it. Like, I'd do the whole painting in gray tones, and I would just the only colors would be the colors of the clothes, you know, or the colors of the jewelry or something like that. So I went through a phase with that. I'm going through a phase now where my colors are really vibrant. I went through a red phase. I mean, so that's usually the first thing that happens, and the subject is usually picked from whomever I happen to be studying at the time. And also, when there is a birthday coming up, like now, Malcolm X Day is coming up, and I'm currently working on an oil painting for that. And for Malcolm X and Garvey, I do that every year. And Dr. Khalil Muhammad, I do that every year. Those are always projects that people can bet on that I will be doing something for that. And now I'm going through this vibrant color phase where I don't use black and brown whatsoever. And, you know, that started out of these conversations about, you know, being black and brown and the word black and, you know, all the rhetoric that goes with that, you know. But I just wanted people to pay attention. When you get up on your skin real close, if you put your hand really close to your face, of course you don't see brown. You see oranges and greens and purples and all of these colors that make up brown. So the phase that I'm going through is I am creating shades of brown with every color but brown, if that makes sense. So that's the phase. A good example would be, I'm sure you've seen it, hopefully some listeners have seen it, but there was a recent one that I did of Keith Horton, and it was a practice for this theme that I'm going through. And there's absolutely no brown in that painting whatsoever. So maybe you know what I'm talking about, but, you know, it's actually fun. You know, painting is more of a relaxation, or has been for me. But this project that I'm going through is a bit more fun, so I'm enjoying it. But those are usually how I get started. And as far as laying down the design itself, or the under painting, sometimes I'll start painting just with a paintbrush, and I'll do the sketch Most of the time I start out with pencil and do a light sketch underneath and make sure I get my proportions right. Because as a portrait artist, you kind of have to get that right. You know, something small is off, the eye is too small or too far apart of the ear or something, and it'll ruin the whole painting. So that's usually how the process goes, and then I just go from there.
Okay, yes, and I definitely did see that masterful piece that you did, Keith Horton. You know, he kind of lucked out on that joint right there. You know what I mean? So now that leads me to something that you spoke of in regards to art therapy. Do those cultures cross with you as a forensic psychotherapist and art therapy with the particular field that you work in and the particular demographic that you work in regards to our youth?
That is an issue that I struggled with because I am pro-black, and I'm in Texas, in Harris County, and the Harris County mental health division, specifically the division that works with juveniles, the overwhelming majority of the children that come through that phase of the system are minorities. Black children, I don't really like the term African American. I have to say it just to be politically correct with work, but black children and children of a Hispanic origin make up the large majority of the population. But there are, a noticeable percentage of white children, not overwhelming, definitely not significant, but there are. A lot of issues come at one time being in the position that I'm in. With that, you notice a lot of things. You notice the biases. You notice the standardization that is based on the white population, but yet you're using this standardization in an environment where you're predominantly working with non-white children. So when you're knowledgeable of that, it tends to cause a bit of a dilemma. I'm not good at holding my tongue. I'm not going to say I'm outspoken, because I definitely know the proper place to have those kind of conversations. But I've definitely gotten in positions where I couldn't go forward with carrying out a duty because of how I felt about the situations that were going on. And as you get more into that kind of profession and you go through the system, and you go through specifically the American Psychological Association, and you have to abide by these terms and these protocols and these laws, and some of them don't fit with your personal ethics as a pro-black person, and that's where the dilemma comes in. So I'm at a point now where I'm doing a lot of self-reflection. I'm actually finishing my PhD, so I'm at a point now where I'm doing a lot of self-reflection about independent practice, because even with independent practice, I'm going to be under some umbrella of a governing organization. And, you know, what do you do when you don't agree with some of the standards that they set, you know? And that's when I'm going to have to make, you know, internal decision on whether I'm going to abide, you know, to maintain my license, to maintain that livelihood. If I'm choosing that, or am I going to go with, you know, what I know is right, whether it agrees or doesn't agree with what requirements, what restraints the state sets. So that's another, you know, I'm really not at a point where I'm trying to focus on that right now. It's coming, but I already know how I am, so I know it's going to be a big decision I'm going to have to make. But in general, there is a lot of good that comes out of psychology, specifically forensic psychology. And it's a vast profession. When people think forensics, for some reason, TV has a lot to do with it. They're getting this idea of what forensics means by watching television and thinks it has something to do with, you know, murder and that kind of thing. But forensics is just essentially a term, if I'm not mistaken, of Latin origin that means, it's pretty much it. There are, you know, more than dozens of different avenues under that umbrella that one could go into. And mine is specifically with adolescents, mostly juveniles. And there's a distinction. Adolescents by law between 12 and 17 in this country, and juveniles are minors who fit into the description of being charged by law or under the guardianship of law because of some activity that has happened. So most of the children that I deal with are in the criminal justice system because they've committed a crime or because they have been victimized. So we do counseling. We provide recommendations to case managers. Children are different than adults. So there is no sentencing. There is no punishment. There are different terms. We say rehabilitation instead of punishment. Children can get probation and that type of thing, but sometimes we definitely don't use with children. So we make recommendations to the court on probation, guidelines, and the need for future therapy, different clearances and levels, recommendations of medication can be done as long as they are signed off by a licensed psychologist, a lot of different things like that. I am not an advocate of medication. I should definitely say that. It takes a lot for me to think that a child needs medication. I think a lot of that is a cop-out, more beneficial for the parent or the guardian than for the child. A lot of times the parents want relief of whatever issue the child is, whatever behavior, I should say, the child is exhibiting, and they want immediate relief. And a lot of times, you know, that's where the requests at that, you know, most of the time definitely recommendation, but sometimes request for medication comes in. And, you know, we in the Black community need to be aware of that it's getting pushed more and more into our community with our children, and it's not something that we hugely needed before, and so we should definitely pay attention to that. But I often have to make decisions when things don't agree with my pro-Black stance, or, you know, but I figure it out, and I figure it out. I don't even really know what to say to all that. I just try to figure it out. But as of yet, I will say one thing that I have been able to rationalize is, and I get that question, this is a question I get a lot, where someone will ask me, do I treat non-African children different than children of other ethnicities. And I will say, no, I don't, for one, because it's unethical, but two, because I'm not one of those that I think every individual white person is evil. What I think is that as a whole, I have an issue with the white community, not on an individual basis, as a whole, mainly because of the system. And the system is ran by the white population. So because I have a problem with the system, I have to have a problem with the white population. You know, I am pro-black, but pro-black doesn't necessarily mean that you hate white people. I just feel like we could do a better job of our situation if we handled our situation ourselves and not have another group governing and molding us. So I don't have a problem with the work that I do with white children. But that's the biggest, that and medication have been the biggest issues that I've had to deal with personally, how my personal feelings come into play. I hope that answered the question.
I hope those moms was affirmative, you know, that you did answer the question. So I wanted to speak to the work that you're doing with Revolutionary Mind Cinema and how that began. How did you guys, you know, come together? Or how did you become a part of that team?
Okay. Revolutionary Mind Cinema is a pro-black, black propaganda organization where our mission is to revitalize black media. We do that by way of cinematography, film, photography, music, digital artwork, and classic artwork. The group, I came into the group by way of Preach Lumumba. The core group was Preach, Keith Horton, and Brick the Foundation. And I came in because they thought I had outstanding work. They liked my position on pro-blackness. And they liked my vibe. So we just kind of clicked and I came in. It was just that simple. And I was honored, and I didn't realize when I was brought in the magnitude of what I was being brought in to. The thing about Revolutionary Mind Cinema is that we all have different talents that we shined in well before we were brought into the collective. We all have individual lanes, and we all dibble and dabble in something that another one of us is doing, but not enough where we cross over into that lane. So we can give different perspectives on something, but we all have an individual lane that we are responsible for, and we maintain that the way that we maintain it if we were doing it just by ourselves as an individual. And that's why we work so well together, and that's why we get the goals accomplished that we set out to do efficiently and by very effective methods. The network that we have between us, and I'm leaving out Eric Shepard. Eric Shepard is an addition like I am after the core group. But between all the connections that we share, it seems like whatever the task is, we get it done. And there's no stepping on toes. There's no, you know, indecisiveness. You know, we create a product and we hit it. The main project right now is a documentary that's estimated to come out later this year, Revolution or Exodus, where the premise is it's time to make a decision. Is the decision revolution in this country? Do we establish ourselves? Do we fight? You know, ultimately, do we stay or do we make an exit and, you know, repatriate back to Africa or some other, you know, the Caribbean or some other land and reestablish ourselves and stay or possibly regroup and, you know, come back and fight? It's a, you know, there are a lot of questions and that's a topic that has not been as explored as a lot of other topics that we have every day in the pro-black community, and it's going amazingly. We have a lot of good teachers and intelligent brothers and sisters that are going to be in the documentary, and if anyone is interested, you can definitely go to our page, Revolutionary Minds Cinema. Minds is MINDZ. You can look that up on Facebook and check out the video trailers. And just a few, we are going to have Dr. James Small. I love him. Shout out to him. Dr. Ashwat Kwesi, Memnon. A lot of great people that are going to be in. There's going to be Young Pharaoh. So there is something in there to be admired by everyone. And it's definitely something that we are putting a lot of our efforts into. And the love that we're getting now is amazing. So we thank everyone who are advocates and supporters of what we're doing. But RMC, we're here for the babies. We're here for those who don't know. You know, it's easy, you know, to get the information across to those who do know or to those who have heard a little bit, but, you know, we're leaving out those who don't know, and we just want to give them something to think about in everything that we do. So, you know, that's what we're doing. Revolutionary Mind Cinema. Look us up.
And y'all have a coloring book as well. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. The Lost Heroes of the Revolution. And Keith headlined that project. You can look it up on Amazon. It is a coloring book that teaches the babies about a lot of our well-known ancestors and some living teachers and liberators, activists, I should say, living activists. And, you know, it gives them an opportunity to color some amazing depictions of these individuals, as well as a blurb of information about each person and a writing, I don't know what you call it, a sentence at the bottom where the name of the person is, you know, like dashed, like outlined. And so it gives the babies an opportunity to practice writing. So you get some reading, some writing, and some coloring all in one little awesome book. The graphics are beautiful. It's colorful. There are some more pictures in the front in full color just to give the baby some inspiration. They usually do their own thing and color them whatever way they want to color them, but all of the photos are fully in the front if they do want to, you know, copy exactly what color is what. But, they've been received well. I have one that I color in myself, give me a break from my morning sketches. I sketch like two or three times a week in the morning, and sometimes I pull the the coloring book out and color in it. I should post them more often. But, yeah, so adults, definitely, if you want to get one, grab one. But they are on Amazon, and they've been received well, and that is definitely a big congrats to Preach and Keith on that project. Phenomenal idea. And anyone who's voting in the RBG Awards, go to, I think it's Kids Education, and definitely check the box for those brothers. Vote for them, because that's a project well deserved, thoroughly enjoyed by the kids. So check it out on Amazon.
Most definitely. I said it like I ain't got like a copy of the color, but I was fronting. You know what I'm saying? I support everything that RMC produces and everything that they have in the works. And, you know, hopefully I get an opportunity to get like 2 minutes in a documentary to make the case for Exodus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something I can go into and look at as an African center psychologist to really, you know, challenge a lot of the delusions that are out there without destroying the other premise, you know, because there are some people that are there, you know, for a particular reason. As long as these reasons are concrete, you see what I'm saying? So. But just, you know, the delusions, the naysay, you know, all of that. So, but I wanted to go back and look at terminology real quick with you. You know, as a psychotherapist, you know, and in your doctoral program, you're understanding the meanings of words and how they're used, you know, and how they're misused. So this term... Black liberation, what does this term mean to you? Can you give us a functional definition or operational definition from your perspective on the term Black liberation?
For me, the most important part of Black liberation is self-sufficiency. You can simply say liberation is freedom, but then you have to define it. How are you going to define that? You know, on a humanistic basis, you can, you know, define, you know, freedom of thought, freedom of choice. You know, that's what most people go to. But if we are going to consider what liberation means in terms, physical terms of our people, then it has to have something to do with self-sufficiency, or how we will be able to manage and maintain ourselves without a parenting group. A parenting group, a controlling group, a, you know, whatever, you know, governing group, whatever you want to call it. And that's what we're going to have to be able to do, and that's where the liberation is going to come in, for us to get up from under the thumb of another governing group. So self-sufficiency is the only way that that's going to happen, as long as we need the oppressor, we will be oppressed. It's really that simple. We're going to have to untie ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, and economically. And for that to be able to happen, we are going to have to be able to do those things on our own. So the conversation needs to start with, how do we do those things? And that's a big conversation on resources. Well, there's gonna have to be a big conversation on the mental state of those of us who want liberation. And, you know, liberation doesn't come without sacrifice, and there are a lot of sacrifices that are gonna have to be made. We're gonna have to draw black and white lines between who is capable of, you know, doing the jobs that need to get done for liberation, whether that's, you know, of a military fashion, of fighting. We're going to have to draw lines. We're going to have to draw lines with who of us are of substance. You know, I mean, you know, Garvey said it best. All of us aren't any good. Some of us got to go. Harriet Tubman, some of us got to go. You know, those are the kind of decisions that we're going to have to make. You know, we have these ongoing debates about homosexuality. Got to make a decision. Who's going? Who's staying? Not who's going. Who's unfit to go? Got to make a conversation about mixed members of the community. Are they going? How mixed can they be? How do you describe mixed? These are conversations that we're going to have before we can cut strings and be self-sufficient mentally. And once we get that taken care of, then we have to start on the resources. Resources must come before the economics can be established. So what can we do? What do we have? What can we make? How do we maintain that? We have dozens of examples, you know, throughout history of examples of types of Black Wall Street, including the real Black Wall Street. We have a lot of different examples of that. We have examples of groups and organizations that wanted to start individual villages, like Dr. Malachi York. We have a bunch of different examples, and we're going to have to go back through and look at the faults in those events and take bits and pieces and put them together, and, you know, and they're going to be trial and error. We're going to have the fortitude for trial and error. We have the mental state of hopelessness ingrained in us over the decades from slavery. That's where a lot of the modern day feminism comes from, this feeling of hopelessness with the Black male not being able to care for and maintain a family. So when stuff gets too hard, they break out. You know, when the Black woman is trained from birth that when he breaks out, almost a guarantee, you know, Black women are trained with this thought. When your Black man breaks out, this is what you must do. And that's where I'm so anti-feminism. That's a whole nother conversation. But those are the things that we're going to have to figure out collectively. So we're going to have to put aside these different sects and these different organizations and these different labels. And we're going to have to get to the basics. We're going to have to get to these fundamental issues that we're going to have to deal with strategically. Almost literally, we're going to have to write a list in order of what we need to check off, and we're going to have to approach it that way to maintain order and be effective, because what we're doing now is not working. So I guess essentially the answer to the question is self-sufficiency. That's what we're going to need. Self-sufficiency requires separation, and separation requires a whole bunch of other stuff that needs to get put in place.
Yeah, so definitely understand the need for being comprehensive. A lot of times we get the gloss over, you know, we get the abstract, we get to vague, you know, we get to general, you know, generalization, you know what I mean? So we get out there. Definitely any set ability to self-govern and to self-define, you know, and to self-determine. That was the goal of every African organization that was left by our ancestors for us. You know, they organized with that hope of, you know, having that set prescribed law and, you know, mobilizing the minds of our people and the hearts of our people towards self-determination. Up you mighty race. Do for self. You see what I'm saying? Accept your own and be yourself. It just goes on and on and on and on in regards to that Greek communion with self. You see what I'm saying? And the necessity for it. You know, we say Black Lives Matter. We say support Black business. You know, these are mantras that we say, but it begins with the actualization of assigning proper value in self-reliance. You know, and what you said was key about self-sufficiency. You see what I'm saying? Having the trust within self to rely upon self to say that I'm sufficient. You see what I'm saying? We are sufficient to deal with us or to interface with us or to spend with one another begins with that, okay, we're moving towards self-determination through the role, aim, and lane of self-sufficiency. We are striving to be self-sufficient so we don't need or become interdependent upon anyone outside of self in order to do, you know. Now you know you have a community. Now you know you have a network. Now you have, you know, you have a state, you have a country. Now you could begin to branch out around the globe. You see what I'm saying? So that global phenomenon exists. You know, it just we have to be reestablished and reconnected. You know what I mean? So that global community itself. I know Dr. Naeem Maqbal has a book called The Community Itself, and these are all the things that are going on with inside our mind and our collective African psyche. We just need to be linked in, you know. So I definitely appreciate your thoroughness and your comprehension in regards to, you know, what's necessary, you know, in regards to the conversation. So even with the advent of this revolutionary exodus conversation, you know, it's not a new conversation, but it's a conversation that needs to be rehad during our time frame. You know, this conversation, whether to stay or to go, has happened within the confines of individual organizations, you know, in every regard. You know, so, you know, along with the health conversation, the highest list of priorities in regards to the mental health and overall wellness. This is an epicenter that goes hand in hand with that same conversation, you know, because we know we deal with addictive behavior and we deal with the cycle of abuse. You know, we go through that ritual phase. You know, we notice, you know, what happens. So when you go into a place where people backslide or they fall back into a particular pattern of behavior, or they go back to their abuser, what happened? You find that ritual part, you know. Oh, I was driving past, or I went back to see some, or I got a phone call from, bam. You see what I'm saying? That ritualizing brings it back, you know. So, you know, the job of the counselor or the guide in that regard is to, you know, remove the abused or the addicted person from that particular environment. You know what I mean? We have become addicted to European abuse and European oppression. You see what I'm saying? And we in this cycle of abuse, you know, he didn't mean it. You know, if Alton Sterling didn't do this, or if Corinne Gaines didn't do this, you know, everything would have been fine. You know, if Sandra Bland didn't do, like, you're making excuses for your abuser. You see what I'm saying? So, like, I was talking about those proverbial shades we're walking around with, you know what I mean? And that abstract fear, your body and mind is in a state of abstract fear constantly. You know, you're going to your job, you don't know if you're going to have a job. You don't know if this is the time that the police pull you over, if you're going to make it home. You know what I mean? No matter what you do. So it's all of this, you know, battle that's going on. And it's in an environment that, you know, produces this, and it's rewarded. You know, this type of behavior is rewarded, you know. So, you know, it's a lot to be had and said about that in regards to how all of these things are being put together, you know, because we're all in people. So all these things are happening simultaneously. It's not separate, you know. It's all a conundrum of things, or a myriad of things that are taking place all at the same time. So I definitely want to, I know in the interest of time, get your thoughts on Black liberation, the attainment of Black liberation, from your particular standpoint, and also the need for repair and reconciliation, and how your particular skill sets can aid in that advent or aid in the attainment of Black liberation.
Now that's a question. I will admit that I am still in the process of answering. I believe I asked you this question yesterday, so you might be giving me a little payback. But I'm in the process of answering this question. I can definitely give you a good answer as far as my psychological skills go and what I've attained in that avenue. Art has always been a part of Black culture. I mean, we all have some iconic Black images in our heads, and I mean, the only thing I can say about that is short and sweet. I hope to increase the amount of those images we have. Perfect example is like in Christianity, how you have that image of a blonde hair and blue eyed Jesus. Imagery is strong. Imagery can bridge cultures. I don't even want to say bridge. Imagery can assimilate cultures. That's a lot of we need more Black propaganda. We have so many white images in our minds that it's sickening. It's an illness. I'm sorry, backtracking a little bit. I also wanted to add that dependency. I know you know this just as well as I do. Dependency in psychology is an illness. It is it has a negative connotation to it. So we have to translate that into our dependency as a people on the oppressor. It's a sickness. It's an illness. And there's nothing positive about dependency in almost any capacity that you can use the term in. There's going to be a negative connotation if you're dependent on someone financially or emotionally or socially. They're really drugs. Prime example. There really is no positive dependency. So we need to understand that. But I'm sorry, back to the question. Really, that's it. And that is a big part of why I am so humbled to have been invited into RMC. That's the whole mission of the organization, Black Propaganda. You know, we want to change the way we view ourselves. We need positive imagery of ourselves. We need iconic images of ourselves. We need to see those of us who have put themselves out there and put themselves in the front and made themselves martyrs for our causes. We need to be able to visualize those things and have these images that we give to our children. You know, words are great. Books are great. We have some people that need the visuals. Children need the visuals. You know, history is going to need the visuals. You know, 1,000 years from now, 1,000 years, I'd say more than 1,000 years, but you know, 10, 20,000 years ago, we have depictions, we have pictures, we have carvings that, you know, cuneiform, pretty much, you know, drawings, depictions, and that, you know, we need to have our own images. We need to have more of our own images than some invading cultures' images. So in that capacity, that's a small way that I can contribute to the advancement of the newly attained view of our people. Because for so long, you know, all of our views of ourselves have been negative. You know, even sometimes overt, you know, usually, you know, real slick, you know, put in there to where we don't even realize that we just wake up one day and we hate ourselves. And I'm just trying to do the little bit that I can to change that. I've started that with my own nieces and nephews first. And, I can say that my nieces and nephews will go into the world looking at things differently than a lot of other, you know, black people's children, unfortunately. And it's because they see that firsthand of what I'm trying to do. And not just in the way I do it, but in the way you do it. And, you know, a lot of us that are activists and involved in the struggle, the black plight, you got to start with the circle that's around you and make that effect there, and it reverberates outward. And that's just what I'm trying to do, you know. Start small, and whoever sees it and enjoys it and, you know, loves it, shares it, buys it, embraces it, you know, whatever verb you want to use, and it gets out there. You know, I've had mornings where I woke up and someone, you know, texted or inboxed me a screenshot of someone else having something that I did as a profile picture, or, you know, on Instagram, or I've Googled my own stuff and found it archived in Google's images. And hey, once it's out there, it's out there. So I'm not one of those artists that's a stickler about that. But, you know, so I know that what I'm trying to do is having an effect, you know, and this, at this point, I'm just trying to keep it going. So, you know, that whatever little bit that I can do in that avenue, I am, you know, still pursuing my efforts with mental health in the African American community, and you know, other ways, you know, the activism, the charity, the going out and raising awareness, donating where you can, buying black. I'm huge on black economics, black business, independency. So, you know, real consciousness, people have a bunch of definitions for black consciousness, but essentially black consciousness is being aware of the black plight that plagues melanated people across this globe, and you are changing your behavior in your everyday life to improve the condition of that plight. That's essentially what consciousness is. It has nothing to do with all these other factors and elements that people want to throw into it. It's really that simple. So as long as I wake up every morning and, you know, I add a little more blackness into my life, I've accomplished my goal for that day. And you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm trying to change what's in my backyard. You know, I'm trying to change what's at the end of my block, what's across town from me. That's what I'm trying to do. I can't change the world until what's around me has felt that change. So, I you know, it's perspective. I keep it in perspective. And, that's what I'm trying to do with my artwork.
And with that work, you definitely have done a great deal, and I commend you for the work that you've done with the canvas and with the canvas of the mind of our people, you know, especially our young people, whom society has deemed unfit. You know what I mean? At just means, you know, at unfit, you know, and, you know, the forgotten among our people, these are the first to go. Because, you know, society shapes the groupthink model, and the groupthink model says if they're in the juvenile justice system, they had to do something. You know what I mean? They had to do something. So they're already cast off and written off. So, and, you know, through the Christendom of the mind, through the Eurocentric influence, the criminal needs to be executed or needs to be locked away from society. You see what I'm saying? So that's that push, you know, to separate, but it's not to push to separate in the manner in which is befitting for us, you know. So definitely commend you with the work of reconciliation and the work of repair, and also the restorative component that you provide with, you know, renewing the imagery of self through this creative imagination that you provide through the art, you know, of recreating imagery that is beneficial to the African psyche, you know, through the paintbrush and the strokes. You know, you said it's fun to you, but it's has a very, very long-lasting impact in the mind of our people, especially our young people, you know. So to see someone that they can call upon as a hero, you know, as confirmation to the heroes that they should be receiving within the framework of their household. So I definitely honor you and thank you for your contributions and your work, and look forward to every miracle or every bit of magic that you're going to provide to us here in the future. So before you go, any final thoughts that you had, and a way for people to contact you and also to support your work in regards to making purchases or even donations, the floor is yours.
Yes. Well, anyone can definitely check me out on Facebook. My username is Afi, AFISAESE. My Facebook is a hot hodgepodge of my artwork, my individual stances on different topics, psychology, everything, just me generally being an occasional cut up sometimes. So if you're specifically looking for my artwork, you can go to KMLPortraits.com, it's one word, and check me out there. My gallery is there. You can look at a lot of my current and favorite works. The price list is there. Custom work is easy. You can take a photo or two, put them together. One photo, you can change things in it. I'm always open to custom work. I'm kind of booked with Mother's Day orders right now, but the week after next week, I'll be back open to custom work. There's also a page for reproductions and prints that I offer. There are several, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, Kaleem Muhammad, the painting that where Farrakhan has the original of Elijah Muhammad is there, Dr. Small. There are several others. Feel free to check that out. On Instagram, you can check me out at KML_portraits. I will definitely try to follow back. It's you know, just another gallery of my artwork. I don't particularly do very much on Instagram. I don't take donations, but if I'm such a strong advocate of black business, if you do make a donation, trust and believe that money will go into the hands of another black person. Aside from buying art supply, any money that I bring in from portraiture work goes to another black hand. Absolutely. you can bet on that. That is one thing that I'm very proud of. All of that money goes back into the Black community. I try to do my part with Black economics. I can't just preach about it. I gotta make it happen too. So, you know, everyone who knows me knows that I am a strong advocate for Black business. So, you know, you can definitely check me out in those three areas. And I'm very accessible. And, yeah, I appreciate it. Oh, if I can just mention, I have an upcoming show in October, my first solo art show in Houston, Texas, hosted by RMC, sponsored by several Emerald Show Jewels, What's Up African, Pan-African Designs. So support that. Be on the lookout for that. It's also going to be a bit of a hodgepodge of Blackness. So look out for that. I'm excited about that. That's the major independent project that I'm working on. And as always, I am humbled. I'm appreciative. I had an amazing time. He gave me some things I need to think about, self-reflect on a bit more and clarify for myself. And it's always been an enjoyable conversation.
Well, Queen, we definitely appreciate the time that you have given us today. And you got to have a follow on. You know, we don't do this Black Psychology Monday, the first Monday of every month. Definitely would like your input in regards to shaping and, you know, molding that African mind. You know. So definitely would like to invite you. And I know you on My Skin Is My Sin radio on Thursdays,
mm-hmm.
7 p.m. And you know that essentially puts you in our other our other group, you know, Liberation Minded Media group. So you know, you're there, always welcome. Anything that I could do aside from monetarily to help promote. Because, you know, the monetary thing aspect goes without saying. You know, if you find value in something, you vote with your dollar. You know what I mean? So you vote with your feet and you vote with your dollar. So in that regard, however I can help you expand your brand and, you know, get that value out to our people around the globe, you know, to just let me know. I have some ideas for some people at our particular places that would definitely support you. So I reach out to you with those names just to get around the globe, you know.
Okay. I appreciate that. And if I can add that on the 14th, the latest edition of This Is the Magazine will be out, and I'm honored to grace the cover of that. I'm excited for that. And if anyone is interested, in honor of Malcolm X Day, I'll be unveiling my latest work of him, and reproductions will be offered. So check that out if you're interested in some fresh, modernized artwork of Malcolm X. Yep, I think that's it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, well, peace and love to you, sis. I know you got it right. Thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Black Power to you.
Black Power, peace and prosperity.
Peace. All right, salute to Queen. Thank you for calling in. Check out Revolutionary Minds Cinema. You can like their page on Facebook. Salute to everybody who participated and called in. Don't forget, we got Casey Dar should be coming on tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here live on Do Not's Radio. If you'd like to subscribe to the show here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Do Not Radio. That's DOTHAKNOWLEDGERADIO. And check us out at DoKnowledgeUniversity.com. And you know, follow the show on Twitter, and that's at KnowledgeBorn15. Again, that's at KnowledgeBorn15. Again, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Do Knowledge Radio on YouTube. So with that, I'm going to say peace, love, and black power, and see y'all tomorrow.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Now turn to our program for the future.
The economy right now is extremely supporting of the president and his policies.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
Mother so-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
Living life. than the rest who fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they're doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley dropped his hands off. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I said we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he's supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-assed leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got the brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot, but Buster, can you tell me who's greedy? The big corporations, the pigs, or the media? Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise, commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence, it's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
Groups understand the system, and with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
You already know what time it is.
Dramatic,
dramatic.
Like that. I just got to tell the truth, man.
Look at little Hey Roo, smooth come through, raw in the flesh, the hoodie tattoo, black man, you're the sun, shine on the galaxy, mama be the earth, birth new reality, it's all in you, deep in the womb. sold in the seeds. Bring it full bloom, be the light in the dark. Spark the creation, cause ye are the gods. Raise the vibration, divine elevation. Rise to occasion, setting the example, building the foundation, the nation, the king. Queen, different deity, supreme, the divinity, the all, my identity, the God in me.
Personification of God on earth.
It's not a mystery, God. Check your history, God. Like graffiti, it was written on the pyramid walls. Hieroglyphically carved. For the Greeks and the Romans, it was meant to be God. But then it went from woolly hair feet, the color of bronze, to this Caucasian version, blue-eyed and blonde. Don't know what side you want. They say it's God versus the devil, but I say the mind control, the hell in your heaven. Supreme mathematics, I be the number seven. Salvation ain't in the sky, it ain't in the reverend. It's ingrained in your essence, written in your DNA records. It's your ancestors.
Getting me where I need to be. Not talking about deities, but something we can see. Like my swag when I'm on top of my beers, and when I talk with my kids, and when I walk with the spirit of the ancestors. I know that I'm blessed cause I come from the best. It's my honor and my armor so nobody can test. And I learned from my mistakes so I had to regret. Yeah, you looking at the G-O-D right here in the flesh.
As we come to the circle and we say Ashe, and we pour libation giving thanks and praise. The original way ain't nothing man-made. Ghetto gospel with a little tea. Pain.
May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life, so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny, the accomplisher of his own ends. Man should understand himself because man is full of knowledge, and this knowledge is a gift of nature. When Mother Nature created man, she deprived him of nothing. He was given the faculty of understanding all things around him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd rather be with God, than a pledge of allegiance to this wicked system. I'm sorry, this country, I tizzy, land of liberty, not hardly. Said I was resist, got me shackled, then you scarred me. So I'd rather be with God, I'd rather be with God, than a pledge of allegiance to this wicked system. I'm sorry, this country, I tizzy. Got me shackled, then you scarred me. So I'd rather be
than exhibiting malice toward your neighbor or fellow men of your own race. What a pity it is that we cannot stand united without a written law. There is no written law compelling other races to stand together. They are brought together by the gentle touch of nature. The unwritten law of nature causes them to stand together on all occasions. So wheresoever you find them in the field, that one gentle touch of nature causes them to stand together, if need be, dying together. But with the black man, you can preach to him from the pulpits. You lecture from the platforms, from the byways and the hedges. The spirit of cooperation, but he will not cooperate.
RBG with the paisley, yeah. Lotus flower coming out the muck, right over left, I resurrect daily, yeah. Embrace the power, kept feelings tucked, and I set, went in and remade me. The flags are thrown, you got stripes to sit, then go ahead, you don't, you few gaze. Trying to perpetrate, I let the wisdom fade, the gods execute, square fears, 9 by 4 till I'm off the grid. Niggas wanna live how Garvey live, but they prepare to elevate like Garvey did. I ain't no exception, you know, like I know we each other's reflection. We done been here before, now the goal is for us to rebuild the connection. It's past talk. Time to crawl, build your muscle, then walk. You heard the call, nigga. Past talk. Time to crawl, build your muscle, then walk. You heard the call, nigga. See, niggas hear the call. Men learn to crawl. Elevate the God, then walk taller, then be the all. In that order. Tahir RBG, repack nation, the situation. RBG for life.